Take your Bibles to start with tonight to Genesis chapter 17. If I remember, I'm going to make myself a note here. Sunday night, we'll have a short business meeting. After the evening service, shouldn't take only a few minutes. Tonight we are going to go look at one more name in the names of God that we've been looking at. This will be the eighth different name of God as we look at them in the Old Testament. This will be the last one that begins with El, E-L, and this is El Shaddai, which many of you are probably familiar with, but I don't know if you're all familiar with the meaning of it, the significance of when God gave it to Abraham. The other thing is, now we've covered, I didn't count them, six or seven of the names that begin with El. What is another name of God, not El, that also has a lot of other things attached to it? Good job. Jehovah. So beginning next week, we'll look at the name of God, Jehovah, and then all the other ones that are Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah whatever. And there's several of those as well. So we'll get into those after this. This will be a short Bible study tonight. But this is the eighth one. Genesis chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, and I'll read some other those other verses here shortly. This name El Shaddai, that is the name that is used here, that Abraham used, simply means this, the all-sufficient one, and it also has to do with the God of the mountains and God Almighty. Now, what is the application of that in the summary? God is the all-sufficient source for all of our blessings. James said in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God is the all-sufficient source of our blessings, and he's the one who provides them for us. It also means that God is all-powerful, and that our problems are not too big for God to handle. Whatever problem you have, and by the way, if you're not having a problem right now, just give yourself a little time. You will be having one sooner or later, right? And hopefully it'll be later than sooner, but don't bank on it. But that problem, whatever it is, will not be too big for God to handle. Now, God referred to himself as El Shaddai when he confirmed his covenant with Abraham here in Genesis chapter 17. In this chapter, God changed both the name of Abram to Abraham, which I've called him that a lot anyway, and Sarai will become Sarah. Now, his name, God's name here, is Shaddai, and it is translated 48 times in the Old Testament like that. Hold your finger here because we're going to come back. But it's also translated in the New Testament or in the Greek equivalent in turn to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But we will come back here. You really don't need to hold your finger in Genesis. You ought to be able to find the first book of the Bible, you know, fairly easy, you would think. Although I will tell you, I did a Bible study with a couple earlier this week, and they're just getting started with their walk with the Lord. I'm not even convinced they're converted yet. And when I said, open your Bibles to Genesis, the lady turned to her, what do you call that thing in the beginning? Whatever that is, yeah. Because as I'm thinking, wow, she did not know where the book of Genesis was. But before I pick on her, I was that way when I first got saved. I didn't have a clue where any of the books were. I read something in Sports Illustrated once where they said the guy thought the sign John 3:16 meant somebody's batting average. He had no idea that that was actually a Bible verse out of the Bible. I thought, man, you know, when I look back at my life, I'm not so sure if I'd have seen that sign that said John 3:16. I'd have known what it meant. I hate to admit this, but I don't think I would have. But if you found 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me down to verse 18. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. And then it uses this phrase, saith the Lord Almighty, the all-powerful one. It is used quite often in the book of Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 just for a moment in verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the what? The Almighty. It's used again like that in chapter 4 in verse 8. Where it says, and the four beasts, and each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so you get the idea that he's called Lord God Almighty. It's used that way in chapter 11, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 19, and chapter 21, all in the book of Revelation. It is translated Almighty every time in Revelation except one. Where in Revelation 19:6, it is translated omnipotent. And the word omnipotent means what? All-powerful. So he is still the almighty, all-powerful God. Warren Wiersbe defined El Shaddai as this. It means the all-powerful and all-sufficient God who can do anything and who can meet any need. Now that is a blessing. So let me say it again. El Shaddai, one of the names of our Father, because the names of God reveal to us who God is. One of the names of God, El Shaddai, is this. The all-powerful, all-sufficient God who can do anything and meet any need. So whatever the need is that I have, or whatever the need is that you have, God can meet that need. Now here's a question. Why did God reveal that name to Abraham now? Why was it at this time in Abraham's life that God revealed it to him? Well, because God was going to tell Abraham and Sarah, that Sarah, his wife, was going to have a son. They're not 25 years old. I mean, they're like old. Did you get an invitation to go to a family reunion? Well, I got one. And I can't, the Raymonds, that's their last name. For the life of me, I couldn't think of their last name. It was Denise's old family. And they got aunts in that family that are old. Aunt Edna is going to turn 100 years old. That's old. 100 is old. Okay. Well, Abraham and Sarah, they're like right around that age of 100. So you picture somebody 100 having a baby. Now that's like not going to happen. So God reveals himself to Abraham when Abraham and Sarah are about to have a son. And he had to reveal himself to Abraham at that time as El Shaddai. He wanted Abraham to know that he is God who is all-sufficient and all-powerful and that nothing is too hard for him and that he is about to do the miraculous. And so he tells Abraham, I'm El Shaddai. Now Abraham had battled with four kings. And God came to him and revealed him as a warrior and told him that he was his shield, which we're going to read Psalm 3 again a little bit later on. But Psalm 3:3 said this, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. In the 28th Psalm in verse 7, The Lord is my strength and my shield. I thought some of you would have that memorized. My heart trusteth in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. And so he had told Abraham that he was his exceeding great reward. Flip back a page to chapter 15 in your Bible there to Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And now Abraham and Sarah are old, and God had assured them that he was more than sufficient to bring about a miracle birth. Now, I want you to get this. This is the principle of that I really want you to get tonight. God comes to us in ways and in times when we need him most. There are times in my life when I have a particular need, and the only one that can meet that need is God. And listen, if you will stop and meditate every once in a while, or as the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God, God will reveal himself to you. You're not going to get some special revelation. I'm not talking about that. But God will reveal himself to you in a way, wherever you happen to be in your life at that time, that will meet whatever the need is that you had. And so God had revealed himself here to Abraham as El Shaddai. Now, with that revelation comes responsibility. So God said in verse 1 of chapter 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, and here was the responsibility. The revelation was who he was, El Shaddai. Here's the responsibility. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Because when revelation comes, responsibility always comes with it. Now, the word perfect does not mean sinless. It's impossible for anybody to be sinless. But what does it mean? Here it means to be single-hearted, to be without blame, to be sincere, to be wholly devoted to the Lord. You know what it is a call for? It is a call for integrity. Do you know what integrity, a simple way to define integrity is? It's the same way you would define character. It is what you are when nobody else is around. That's character. That's integrity. You know what? You can put on a good show for everybody. But when you're all by yourself, actually God is there, but you know what I mean, and there's no one else around, your integrity and your character will come out when you're all alone. Revelation always brings responsibility. Now let me say something. You do not get some special word of revelation, like a charismatic preacher, you know, when he's preaching, and he'll say, hold it. And he pretends he's listening to God, you know, physically, because God's telling him something, giving him some extra word of revelation. Okay, God's not giving you an extra word of revelation like that. But when God reveals truth to you from his word, that might be revelation for you. And in this case, God is revealing himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. And along with that came responsibility. So when God reveals something to you out of his word, you know what your responsibility is? To trust and obey. That's what your responsibility is. The secret of a perfect walk, and that was the word he used here, before God, is the personal worship of God. And as you personally worship God, you'll begin to walk with God. Then I want you to notice something else in verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. So we had the revelation. Let's see if you can get this. And then the responsibility went with it. And when you see the phrase between me and thee, and you think of a word that begins with an R, what might it be? Relationship. See the relationship? And I will make my covenant between me and thee. So Abraham is going to have this relationship because he said, my covenant is with you. Now, God, once again, in this chapter, reaffirms his covenant. The stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, the Abrahamic covenant, and all these children that are going to be. And it seemed as if Abraham and Sarah were too old. And in all honesty, in real life, it really does seem like it's too old. But El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one and the source of all blessings, can do it. Our responsibility is to walk before him and be thou perfect. He notice he said in verse 4, as for me. So God says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And I want you to look down at verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So in verse 4, God said, as for me. But in verse 9, he kind of said, as for you, Abraham, obey my word. That's his responsibility. His responsibility included verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Circumcision. Verse 23. Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. So he's talking about circumcision. Verse 24. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And he hadn't had a baby yet, but he's now 90 years old. Now, I want you to get this. He obeyed. Circumcision is not a sacrament. Circumcision was not a means of salvation for Abraham or anybody else. Circumcision stood for something much deeper than a physical circumcision. It stood for their relationship to God. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. This is where I was reading my Bible this morning. in verse 16. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your what? Your heart. And be no more stiff-necked. Circumcision is to be of the heart. God wants hearts to be circumcised and to be totally devoted to Him in love and in obedience. Let me go over to Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 4. He says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is inward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. God wants our hearts to be circumcised in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not to men, but of God. And then when you go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, but not necessarily his outward circumcision. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, and that's all it is a sign, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Abraham believed in God before he was ever circumcised. But the circumcision is to be of the heart. The physical circumcision is a symbol or an outward sign of what's supposed to happen inwardly. And our hearts are supposed to be set apart for the glory of God. So, Abraham had a revelation. God revealed himself to him there as El Shaddai. Then he had a responsibility. In this case, it was the circumcision. And when God shows you something, and then you take your responsibility and you obey it, that will deepen your relationship with the Lord. And we get to where we see God is El Shaddai. Now, let me say this, because I thought about this a little bit later on in the day. That, because I see God as El Shaddai, that doesn't make him El Shaddai. God already is El Shaddai. But us, in our relationship, we grow to where we see him as that. We grow to where we see him as the all-sufficient one who can meet all of my needs. And quite frankly, not every Christian has got there yet. They've never really realized that God is El Shaddai to them, that God can meet all of their needs. Now it's revealed to Abraham, and God can handle Abraham's problem. He's like 90. He doesn't have any children, but God can say, Abraham, for me, that's really not a problem. Don't you worry about it. You and Sarah will have a son, and he'll be Isaac, and so it's not a problem. Now, God can meet our needs as well. And you know, I really pray that all of us grow to know God, our Father, as El Shaddai. The all-sufficient one, go back to Psalm 3 again. Who gives us all of our blessings, who can meet all of our needs, the all-powerful, any problems that we have, they're not too big for God to meet, and he can meet them all. Now, let me read this, and I want you to follow along again. If I can get to 3, I'll be doing good. Here we go. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. David had some problems, okay? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Wouldn't it be sad if somebody actually said that to you? There's no help for you, not even in God. And then he said, Selah, stop and meditate on this. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. Evidently, David, when he cried out to God and he knew that the Lord heard him, evidently he got enough confidence in God that he could lay down and sleep. And I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, and save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. I may be a little rough, but I like the way that said there. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Father, how we long to know you in all the different ways that your Bible reveals you to us. Tonight, Abraham, as we saw, had a tremendous need in his life, a miraculous need, really. And yet, because you are El Shaddai, you are sufficient to meet that need. Now, because we know the end of the story, we know you did meet that need. And we know that whatever you told Abraham actually came to pass. And we praise you and we thank you for who you are, for what you can do, what you will do. We love you, Lord, for all of the things that you are. You are our God, and we praise and exalt your name. In Jesus' name, amen.